For a start, I feel very privileged to be involved with such an artist group. I had been friends with all of the artists prior to being involved, and I was Richard's artist assistant for many years. Vernon and Jennifer were both lecturers of mine at university, and Vernon's actually my cousin. Our grandfathers are brothers, so we're already quite close-knit, and met on many occasions to deal with art issues and talk about sort of the industry and what we're about. And there's a resonance or a current, I think, that runs through all of our work that binds it in a certain way as well. So I think it was a bit of a natural progress that we went from, you know, being friends to actually having this collective. And I think I was really brought on to the collective as one of the younger members, with an opportunity to be mentored, you know, to have the experience of more senior and more developed artists around me, and to give my practice a big push, which I think it has. I'm so grateful to be in the position that I'm in at the moment, and I think a lot of that is due to the support that the Proper Now collective has given me. We were always interested in working with Lyndon. We had developed individually quite good relationships with the curator Jan Duffy. I'd been in previous shows here and was fortunate to be the recipient of the postcard prize a few years back, and we'd always discussed with Jan the potential of Proper Now doing a show here. What we've done in the past few shows looked at broadening the scope of where what our audience knows about our work, and sort of challenging those ideas even further. So with a space like Lyndon, what we hadn't done before is Proper Now was all worked in the same medium. And we haven't yet collaboratively worked together as well, but we thought, well, this is a really great chance to be collectively represented through one medium. So we're all doing the same, we're all doing drawings, which, I mean, gives a cohesiveness to the show that's going on. But drawing does relate to all of our practices, but not necessarily the final product. So, you know, Vernon Arkey, obviously very well known as a drawer, that's his art practice is drawings. People are very familiar with those amazing drawings that he does. People, you know, Gordon Hookey is a fabulous drawer, and he starts off drawing on his canvases and they're developed into beautiful oil paintings. And quite often would go into the studio with the drawing laid out on the canvas and think, oh, you should just show that. That, you know, is incredible. So there's drawing elements in all of our work that, you know, the audience and hasn't had an opportunity to see before. So, you know, we thought this could be a good premise for a show to give, you know, a little bit of extra insight into who we are and what we do as artists, and the interdisciplinary techniques we all have. We all, you know, have university degrees in fine art, and a cross-section of us work in all different mediums that a lot of people don't actually get to see, whether it be through life drawing or studio studies that sort of sit within our files and our shelves or under the bed, not the final product that people are used to seeing. So it's just giving a bit of an insight into the varying practices and ideas we have. This was a really good opportunity for me doing the drawing show, because more and more recently I've been looking at family stories and my family history and ways of incorporating those stories into my work. The National Museum of Australia has just published a series of 18 books being distributed in schools, all on Aboriginal people, art and culture, and really giving, I guess, an insight into the true history of this country. And one of those books is actually fully on my grandfather's life. So my auntie did a lot of research and was able to access a lot of files about his life. And they were stories that we had always known and had heard about growing up, but it's just lovely to see them published. And those further resource around research really gave you know, a really strong presence to them as stories. So I was very interested for a long time in one particular story of him going to war, and I thought I'd really love to execute that story through a series of drawings. And it's a series that I plan to continue and take further, but this was really for me the first opportunity to get some, you know, pencil down on paper and start to, I guess, think about the ideas or how I was going to present it. So for me, these are sort of preliminary or prototype drawings for future projects. I wanted the execution to be as simple as possible. With all my premise of my work, and I look at myself as a conceptual artist, the story and the meaning behind the work is always far more important than its physical execution. So what I mean by that is I'm not interested in just creating a beautiful picture. It doesn't interest me, and that's not what I look at when I look at art as well. So often it has a more minimal quality to it. So I really pare it back to its simplest form because I really want the story to speak for itself, you know, not overworking in any way. So I felt with this, just the black on white was the right way to go. The work itself is four bullets, three bullet shells, and a text-based work where I've written the story. So the bullets are actually representative of him and people that he served with. He went to Germany in World War II, and like many soldiers at that time, found himself a prisoner of war. He escaped with six other men. So there were seven of them that crossed the border of Italy into Biella, where they had a family that helped them out by hiding them in their farmhouse. And they were captured by the Italian soldiers and sent for execution. So they were lined up and shot one by one. Three of the men were shot in front of him before an officer in charge came out and halted the execution and said that these men were British allies and that they needed to be returned to Germany. So my grandfather was fortunate enough to be one of the four men left returned to Germany. By the time the war had finished, they were returned back to the British infantry, sent to England, and then sailed back to Australia. So that's the story, but I add the finishing touches on that in saying that when servicemen and women from Australia returned home, they were given land as settlement for their work. My grandfather not only received no land, his family was still getting their land taken off them. And I think that's really an important story in many aspects. But I think when we look at the whole Australiana theme and the way we look at war, the flag, the anthem, these are things that don't represent me and my family. And I think that's a very simple yet politically potent story which reflects that and very strong, and I want to share that story. I want to get that story across to many people, like the injustices that we faced as people that have a ripple effect, you know, to even my generation. You know, my grandfather obviously would have loved to be able to pass on, you know, some land or a house to his family for all the work. You know, he had done the same as everyone else, but that wasn't an option. So, you know, for me, the simple execution of just the seven bullets, the four bullets in their entirety, and the three shells representing the men that were executed in front of him. I work across mediums, again, looking at that idea of, you know, conceptualism within what I do. When I know what I want to say, I look at the best way of representing it. So I've had the opportunity to work with photography and video, and through this time finding the best people to help to support me in doing what I do. I'm not a photographer or a video artist, so if that's the medium I choose, I source the best people to make the reality of what's inside my head happen. But primarily I think I'm known a lot for wall-based installations. I've been collecting what I call Aboriginalia, which is kitsch Australiana with representations of Aboriginal people on it, since I was a child. And my collection grew extensively over many, many years to the point where it had to leave my house and come to my studio because it was overtaking. And I come from a painting background, and having all these objects around me, they started to inform my work a lot more, to the point where I was going into the studio and compiling a big collection into smaller collections. So I was putting all heads together or all plates together, or I might go in one day and put all one certain colour together. And I started to actually work with the objects themselves, and they became my work. So I was installing them into shows in shapes or in words or formations. And I think that's sort of more recognisably me. When people look at my work, they think of those sort of big wall installations. But I don't think I categorise myself within any one form of media. And if I do that, I say I'm a painter because that's where I'm trained. But I don't actually think I've ever exhibited a painting. I love language and the use of language. I love collecting. I love pop culture. I plan my day. You know, I just want to say I feel so fortunate to be able to be an artist that I go to a studio every day, and that is, you know, that's all I do. I think that is so amazing to have that opportunity and only have to do that. So, you know, my day is structured in a way of reading the paper, watching TV, being informed and knowing what's going on, and also understanding who is presenting the media to us. So not only reading something, but then analysing who wrote it and what purpose and what was their intention for doing that, and trying to uncover the truth within things. Because, you know, language has been used against us for such a long period of time. And again, it's another very simple thing you can do by just, in my head, altering words or changing the way something is written. You know, it can create a whole different story. So that's something that interests me quite a lot. And the here and now is what interests me. You know, I live and work in Brisbane, and surrounded by a contemporary society, and you know, I have a fantastic family in North Queensland that looks at traditional elements of our life, and continue to do those practices, which I'm so grateful that they're continuing on that. And you know, sometimes I participate in workshops and things like that, but I really feel that's for my family that's up home, and I really have something to say down in Brisbane where I live that reflects, you know, maybe something more nationally about what's going on within society now, and that's what I like to comment on.